So I could say that Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, has been at it again. He's launched a sharp attack on South Africa, claiming that South Africa shouldn't even be part of the G's anymore, never mind hosting the G20 summit. And to help us unpack what this really means, on the line to chat to me this afternoon is John W. Day, a lawyer and a legal analyst, who might shed some light on what on earth is going on in the US of A. John, thanks for talking to me this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
So from a legal and a diplomatic perspective, how serious do you think Donald Trump's decision is to skip the G20 summit?
Well, the starting place is that Trump has always, or most recently, developed this the strong animosity toward the South African government. By saying he's going to skip the summit, he's launching an attack, of course, on the legitimacy of South Africa being in the G20. He says he's not going. It looks like he's going to send a delegation, though, that includes the Vice President J.D. Vance, so the U.S. is not going to completely sit it out. But Trump himself is making a big point of saying, I'm not going to go. I don't think South Africa legitimately belongs in the G's. And he simply just describes it as a place where bad things are happening. And we know some of the background, some of the starting place for him is his belief that there is what he calls a white genocide occurring in South Africa.
Yeah, we all watched that being beamed live. Personally, I found it a very cringeworthy moment. I mean, there's plenty wrong in this country, that's for sure, but I'm not sure why genocide is one of them. Anyway, that's not for discussion this afternoon. I want to know whether this a presidential critique of a country violates any norms of international diplomacy, or is this just political rhetoric? Is he playing to his base?
Well, look, everything Trump does lately violates the norms of international diplomacy, but he does it. And a lot of the time, he succeeds. And that's still the situation that a lot of Americans are trying to wrap their heads around. This particular issue, you know, again, we know he's got a history. I think if you look at what he's done specifically related to South Africa, he's made these presidential decisions that most of the refugee visas available in the U.S. There are only now about 7,500 of them. There used to be 120,000 for political refugees, for example, are going to go to white South Africans, and he's made that a presidential decision. So there's a framework in his mind. There's a backstory that leads us to this place, but he can make a decision not to attend. He can make a decision not to send a delegation. He's not doing that. He apparently believes in the G20 enough, and in the Johannesburg location enough to want to send at least his trusted vice president. But it has no literal, has no legal effect on the legitimacy of the G20. It's his political statement. And again, he's gotten away with bending and breaking and ignoring the norms of international diplomacy. So in his mind, why should he stop now?
That's a very interesting point you make, because if you look at where we are at in the Middle East, and I'm really going on a tangent here that I didn't intend to, but I mean, he's actually taken the Middle East to a better place than it was at not so long ago. And it took a real estate guy together with two other real estate guys, and I'm thinking of Jared and Steve Witkoff, who managed not playing nice political accepted games to actually push through an agenda that's got it to a point where the sides are talking to each other.
And again, that's the backdrop for his decisions on things like South Africa and more closer to home in the U.S. He's now threatening some type of legal action against Venezuela. I mean, as far as attending to the norms of diplomacy, he doesn't care. And he believes that the road to success for him is in not caring and in showing that whatever happened in the past with American presidential administrations, people obeying the niceties of diplomacy and following the paths that have been followed before, he's seen that that's not necessarily successful. And as you point out, is his success recently in the Middle East and in dealing with Jared and sending his guys over to address that has led him to think, why not do this
everywhere?
You can't argue with that. You know, you can't argue with the success he's had on that level.
They're going to have to rewrite all the textbooks for all the business schools because something else is happening right now. Not sure what, but something else is happening. Do you think this could undermine South Africa's credibility as a host of the G20? Or do you think people think, ah, it's just Trump?
Well, Trump wants it to undermine the legitimacy. I mean, that's sort of the... He may not have a very well-defined strategy, except that he thinks the South African government, and his word, the word he's used is bad. He said, his direct quote, or bad things are happening there. I don't think the rest of the world necessarily believes that Trump's stamp of approval is going to have make much of a difference one way or the other, because we've seen so much of the rest of the world have to adjust to his style. And you see world leaders like Macron and Starmer, Carney, people in leaders in other countries who have realized the way to deal with Trump is to start off with massive flattery, and it works almost every time. Yes. So there was a learning curve, and it was almost straight up with Trump, but now the curve has evened out a little bit, or flattened out, and world leaders understand there are ways to successfully deal with him, and one of the most basic starting points is start with flattery. He's not getting that necessarily from the South African government, and I think if he thought for some reason that the government decided, well, we're going to try what was so successful with Macron, that might be something that's worth considering, because they're not getting anywhere on the route they're on right now.
So if you were advising President Cyril Ramaphosa on how to best handle the situation, your advice would be what? Flatter the guy.
Flatter Trump. Kiss his behind. And I mean, we are laughing at the concept, but the reality is it works. It works very well. And the people who have succeeded, the leaders who have succeeded in dealing with him, have been able to add that to the strategy toolbox. And I mean, what's the worst that can happen at this point?
Well, GOA was up for renewal and it wasn't renewed. That's going to have a very significant effect on South Africa's trade. And I was wondering, could this further worsen our position vis-a-vis the United States of America, who is a very, very significant trading partner?
Well, again, I think Trump is hoping that the response from the South African government will be to bend to his will significantly, and he will then, you know, his pattern is once that starts to happen, he throws out compliments, he throws out, little rewards.
You're thinking about Putin and Erdogan, and the leader of Qatar being the good guys,
right,
suddenly.
Right, and it's the playbook is getting more and more clear, I think, in people's minds as they see what is successful with him. So while the stakes are high, certainly for South Africa, the response may be just to adapt to what other world leaders have tried and see if you're going to get progress there, because I mean it's not that complicated when it comes to flattering Trump and getting what you want.
No, just nominate him for a Nobel Prize. That ought to do it. Are you surprised in any way by the stubbornness of the South African government in that they have changed absolutely nothing?
Well, there are a lot of factors at play here, and whatever the decision-making process is to change nothing, whatever the long game is in that view, I still say if you want to have some small successes, there is a path right now in dealing with Trump and the U.S. government that is going to be there's a roadmap, and there is a history here that shows what succeeds. So I would just argue that there's not, why not try that and give some little accolades to Trump, because he likes that. And it's not that complex when it comes to addressing what he wants publicly and worldwide. And we're joking about being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, but it's actually not a bad idea.
John Day, thank you for your input this afternoon. Very serious subject. I must say I smiled a lot, perhaps a lot more than I should have. But thank you for making it all very clear this afternoon. Appreciate your time.